from the trenches.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Trenches, real life in the accounting industry, brought to you by BGL Corporate Solutions, Australia's number one superannuation and corporate compliance software. I'm your host, David Boyer from SQL CFO. I'm joined here with Paul Meisner from Freedom Accounting System. Paul, it's been a massive week in politics, in accounting, in sports, in everything.
Absolutely. Hello, listeners. Welcome all. Probably bigger in politics today rather than necessarily accounting. But anyway, it obviously certainly flows on. Big thanks as well to BGL for sponsoring us. David, get us in. Best on ground. Kick us off.
My best on ground. A fantastic interview that Sholto McPherson has done with the team behind the Reckon and IPA deal. He sits down with Andrew Conway from the CEO of the Institute of Public Accountants and Sam Allett, CEO of Reckon. I'm just going to pick out a couple of things from this interview, Paul, that stood out to me, because there's kind of a best and a worst in this. The best thing that came out for me was, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We have an interview coming up with Andrew Conway, don't we? Booked in, head of the IPA, which is going to be really interesting. He's come out, and one of the comments that he said is the idea of professional body as a platform. So the direct question, why do this? Well, a professional body is a platform, and a platform as opposed to a service as a representative group is a place where you go to and then you can bolt on or get from everything you need to do your job. Now, accounting software is a critical thing we need to do our jobs, Paul Meisner. So this idea of professional body as a platform, it's really innovative, but at the same time, and everybody's questioning, what do I get from my body? This expanded, and I'm really going to deep dive into this when we get the interview with him. I'm really keen to hear more of what this means. To me, it's very exciting.
I think it's interesting.
Potentially exciting. Depends what you do with it.
Yeah, I think my question is whether one size fits all in terms of this, and he answers that in the article. A very, very great article. Two parts. One, because of the vigor in which Sholto asked the questions. Mazel tov to the old Sholto. certainly didn't shy away from the tough questions.
No elephants in Sholto's room.
And well done. And Sam and Andrew Conway answered particularly well. So good on them. You've got another one?
Yeah, the other thing that came out for me just in this, and I must admit, I'm not so sure I buy this, so again, I'm going to ask Andrew when I get the chance to. Why did the IPA decide to go with Reckon Way? So critically for us, it was alignment of cultures. I mean, the whole reason there was the Reckon Myob deal was because Reckon couldn't invest in developers and innovate their product enough to bring it to the cloud. Like, I think they literally said it in their ACCC submission. And to me, the IPA is the most innovative industry body out there. So I'm keen to hear more what cultural alignment there was. Innovation, to me, outside of looking in, doesn't seem like one of them.
I think it was probably an alignment of sponsorship rather than alignment of cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe one in the two, are the same. For me, you got another one.
Yeah, I got another best on ground.
Oh, God,
did
you
not
go.
Read this sheet? I've spent so much time putting our show notes together. I don't, listeners. We make it up as we go, and I'm usually the one who misses the sheet. No, my second best on ground is actually going to a company who, Paul, you and I like to have a bit of fun with. Momentum Media, the publishers of Accountants Daily, and also the publishers on SMSF Advisor. Something is coming to head with the advisor exemption for accountants. We have Conway going to Canberra this week. We know that. We know that it is a pet project of Tim Munro, recent director of the IPA, and BGL CEO Ron Leash has come out all guns blazing saying this is actually ridiculous. I think he said on last week's show, we're the trusted advisors, we're the people who should be giving this advice. I actually tracked back all of the work SMSF Advisor has done on bringing awareness to this particular issue.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work. And good on them, because this upsets every single accountant I talk to. Like 100% of accountants have an opinion on this, and a lot of accountants have been impacted by it. I'm just going to go through some of these articles go back a long way. Majority of accountants still unlicensed. Fresh licensing figures surface, and the article goes on to say that no one's registered. Exodus from bank license for shadowed major licensing switch. Then we had the whole Count financial crisis and what that meant in the back of accountants not being able to pick up the work. There's ASIC had an anomaly with their licensing. ASIC didn't know what they were doing. It goes on and on about what they've done. There'd be 30 articles on this. So well done, guys, for some great industry advocacy on an issue that means a lot to accountants. Good luck, Conway, in Canberra this week. Well, I guess you're still meeting with the Turnbull government for at least the next couple of weeks until Dutton makes another challenge.
Yes, well, I think there's a lot of movement in the political space, which I cover in Worst on Ground. Look, I think the licensing an interesting one. Certainly the power in the financial planning lobby and those kind of areas, they might have been a little bit distracted now from the Banking Royal Commission. But having said that, in light of the political climate, making changes or getting anything through the political climate, like reinstating an exemption that they got rid of, I think that no government or opposition are willing to face that egg in the face.
All right. A lot of people won't know this. Today, the second reading of the company proposed change reduction to company tax rates got through the Senate today.
How?
Because nobody's paying attention. There's other things going on in politics today, but I'm not so sure about that. There's an article today just on the Royal Commission. Listeners will know I love reading the Royal Commission. NAB spent now 11 months deliberating whether they should be charging for no service. 11 months. I want to know how many accountants were in that room, because if you were in that room and you're an accountant, to me, you've breached the ethics standards that I've signed up for with my professional body. That should have just been a, no, we can't do this.
There should be some, but yet I don't know whether there'll be any, there'll be some slaps on the wrists, I'm sure, but nothing major.
Over to you, Paul. Best on Ground. Some good news, some good customer service news from the looks of things.
Very much so. Zero. 4 years in a run, in a row, Canstar Blue Customer Satisfaction Award for Small Business Accounting Software. Seems like a very niche group, but obviously there are some big players. But I tell you what, like, to win this stuff in a rapidly changing market with I guess being one of the earliest in the cloud accounting space, and to maintain that award 4 years in a row is a massive effort. So big congratulations to Trent and the Australian team. Amazing.
You were very critical of Xero during the year. You said they stopped listening to their customers. You said that they weren't taking on constructive feedback. We had a lot of offside chats about this with a lot of people, senior people at Xero or around Xero. Do you have to fall on your sword now, Paul? I would have thought listening to customers and winning customer service awards go hand in hand.
That's a very interesting thing, and I haven't had a chance to do the look at it. The categories were ease of use, value for money, ease of integration, functionality, which was I think the only thing they got 4 stars for. Reporting 5 stars, personally, don't know how that happened, because I think reporting's quite facing its own challenges. And customer service actually was outdone by Intuit.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it was interesting. You know, I think on that, you got to look at those numbers. I mean, 5 stars in ease of use, value for money, ease of integration, and reporting. And only really losing 1 star each for functionality and customer service. Oh, I think losing it for functionality is a bit harsh, personally. Good job.
I think for value for money is a bit questionable, given it's the most expensive.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would have been very interesting. No Reckon, no Sage, no Sasu, no anything else. That's an interesting. That's an interesting graph if you're sitting there as Sage, or I wonder what Sam Allott would say.
Was busy doing a deal with Reckon, didn't have time to submit the form.
That
maybe.
Is interesting. Oh, that's a question. That's a question.
That's a good question.
Where were the others in that graph? I don't know whether they were just listing the finalists. Anyway, let's keep moving. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Twitter Cull. I'm a big fan. You'll know I'm a big fan of Twitter.
You're not only a big fan of Twitter, you hate fake followers.
I do. I have a certain feeling where people trade on that, but that's fine. I mean, that's up to them. So, but I guess for me, David, is it's not verifiable. You know, there's nothing that's verifiable about this. You get a sniff, you get a feeling. You can kind of see from the amount of comments or interaction or whatever whether or not it doesn't look right. But I tell you something that is absolutely roll gold solid is when roll gold solid evidence or solid is when your follower numbers or also not ours, but when people's follower numbers drop by multiples of thousands of people after Twitter announced that they were expelling fake accounts. It sort of certainly does make a lot of people's protestations a little bit thin.
So Twitter has deleted 6% of all accounts on their network, saying they are fake. Some accounts that I follow have dropped more than 6%, so obviously have a lot of fake followers. And why this is important is because people use social networks, and we do this as well. Like, if you've got a big following, people tend to trust you. It creates social proof. If that following's fake, it's fake proof. That's why I'm upset by it, Paul.
Right, let's move on before I get into trouble. Worst on ground, David.
Safe as houses. This underpayment wages thing is out of control. It's absolutely... So the company's now Supercheap Auto Rebel, so a massive retail giant, has worked out that they've calculated overtime incorrectly, underpaid workers by $8 million. We now have major brands, trusted businesses, listed entities outside the franchising sector. Franchising gets slammed as an entire business model when it impacts them. It's now affected everyone. A couple of weeks ago, we had another big man. We've had a law firm caught up by this. Here's David Boyer's summation. The laws are too bloody complicated. Fix them. It's just too hard, and workers are getting the wrong end of the stick because of it. Because I promise you, this isn't because they're skimping on compliance. These are listed companies. They can't afford the scandals of getting this wrong. The result, the Rebel and Supercheap Auto, a MacPack as well, are included in that 8 mil super retail group. Is that Solly Lou's group, Super Retail?
Not sure.
So it's of the back payments, they've gone back and audited. So they've done a self-audit internal review, which is great at what you needed. There's a question for us as accountants, how involved should we be? I think there's a lot of money to be made in helping your clients audit their historical payroll accounts. If you don't have the skill set, go find a payroll expert or a bookkeeper who has. Because if you're having a conversation about risk with your clients and you're not talking about this, you're probably not doing your job in the current environment.
My view on this is if you have got massive companies turning over massive amounts of money with massive amounts of staff to pay, but also, I mean, I just hate to think. So these businesses would have internal accounting teams. They would have internal HR teams. They would have everything, and plus
huge ERPs as well.
And plus they've got the best accounting, presumably, the best payroll software fit for that purpose. And they've got external tax and business advisors. I tell you what, if they got it wrong, the fish and chip shop down the corner.
No chance.
And the suburban accountant who's too busy trying to fight off the ATO from all of their clients has got no hope. Kate Carnell said it when we interviewed her. I think everybody knows it. We got to get on the bandwagon. Forget licensing almost. Once we're finished with that,
this is our next
put that cube back in the rack.
Is this our next campaign?
I think this is our
next. We're going to march to Canberra with signatures on a clipboard.
They're a little bit busy at the moment. We might.
We don't know the door. Hello? No, literally, nobody's here. We don't know.
Gone voting. God, they're hiding under their desks. Anyway.
What else? Do you have any other worst on grounds, Paul? No.
I haven't had any yet.
Well, let's do your worst.
Very quick. Politics at this moment. I don't want to carry on about it. But the worst on ground bit that I want to mention in terms of this is we are in a period where the ATO are coming out with tax gap reports. We have transfer pricing issues, and so here we go. We've got banking legislation we need to bring through. We've got to protect consumers in banking and financial planning. We've got to deal with licensing. We've got to deal with taxation. I just feel like we're in that. I almost felt like we recovered from that wasteland of getting legislation through the Labor Party spills back in the day, and I just hope we're not going. I hope this is. At least if there's a political execution, let's make it swift and let's carry on.
Well, it won't be because Dutton said he's coming back in 2 weeks when he gets the numbers to challenge again. I can't believe we talk about the quality of public debate, which you and I think's on the decline in Australia in general, definitely on social media. We commented that LinkedIn got slammed a couple of weeks ago, which isn't a place where you see slamming happening. I thought it was a bit rich of the Labor Party to come out, we're united, show of strength. It's almost as if the whole Rudd Gillard thing never happened. The reason why we're commenting on this speaks to leadership. And you and I have been calling out for strong leadership in the accounting industry for a very long time. We're definitely not getting it from Canberra. I mean, some Turnbull faithfuls will say, well, this was strong leadership. I think this whole thing is just a bit of a joke, a bit of a farce. How can you trust?
Anyway, but...
And also, one funny thing, sorry, Paul. Triple M's Hot Breakfast down in Melbourne, run by Eddie Maguire. Everyone's heard of Eddie, even in other states, I believe. They ran a poll saying if Australia was a republic... who do you want to be Prime Minister? And 74% of respondents said Eddie Maguire.
On his radio station, on his show. So it's slightly skewed.
Pretty big Triple anyway. M morning.
First name that arguably comes to mind. Surveys kind of like appendages. Everyone has one. But...
Not bad.
Anyway, my other very quick one. 7 days of black and white on Twitter. What is with that?
Seriously. Explain what it is first.
So apparently it's... I don't know. It's one of these sort of... You post a black and white photo and then much like the ice bucket challenge, I think you dob in one or two people, over 7 days, dobbing in seven people. I think it kind of gets a bit boring. Look, if you want pictures, pretty pictures, go join Instagram. That's my view. The cynic in me, we might have to ask Wayne Schmidt about this, whether or not this black and white thing is just a ploy to get your cred numbers up, to climb up that silly leaderboard. That's just my take on it, listeners. I'm not sure.
I got tagged in it. I didn't do it. And I Trent McLaren, Practice Ignition's very own Trent McLaren, said, oh, don't be a... Sprat or spoiled sport or something. This, remember when you're in high school and you'd get like, this is a letter from a Chinese mysterious master. If you don't pass it to seven friends, a great curse will fall. That's what this feels like for me.
Is this the chain letter?
This is the chain letter. Yes, this feels like the modern day chain letter, but it's designed to create social influence and get more followers. I didn't do it. I don't want to pay it. But I'm going to explain this because it's funny you brought this up. I was talking to Lalette about it beforehand. She got tagged and did it a few times. And she said, I don't like it, but I've seen this other one, which is seven stories, seven lessons. So you come up with a story. And I said, you know what? If the content's great and it's valuable, put it out to the world and people will engage in it. I don't know why we need gimmicks. We're professionals.
Shaming people into it or whatever. And then calling it out if you don't follow it.
I got called out. Trey called me out. I said, I don't want to do it.
You're not hard enough, obviously, David. People didn't even bring that to my desk.
Well, Paul, because you don't listen to the listeners, Paul. We did a poll, should you join the Alvara list? I think 70% of people said yes, and you haven't joined the Alvara list.
I think your numbers are a bit skewed, but...
How many times did you vote?
How many accounts did you... I don't think all the no's were me.
Well, I think all those fake Twitter accounts were mine, that Twitter culled getting you to do it.
Thank you all for... for joining us, David, last thing.
Yeah, now, some listeners might notice I'm a bit rusty. My voice is a bit croaky. I'm a bit sick, Paul. You definitely are as well. From all of our listeners and all of our sponsors, Paul, happy 40th birthday on Saturday night. You took me, dragged me to Yarraville. It's the only time I've taken the Westgate Bridge when I haven't been going to the Witten Oval.
Thank you very much.
It was a great night. I got to meet your family and friends. There were a few accountants in the room. Your dad being one of them, caught up with your old man again. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you very much. Many people can't believe I'm 40. Apparently, I don't act it. But no, thank you very much, David.
I get 70. Most people think you're 70. No, I'm joking.
Nice. The grey hair. Thank you very much. Listeners, awesome. Please, we're getting emails, LinkedIn messages. Love to hear your feedback. Please hit us up on any of our channels. Apart from that, have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of From the Trenches. David and I love hearing feedback from all of our listeners. If you ever have any content, feel free to reach out. I can be reached at Paul Meissner on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Fiveways Group.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, B-O-Y-A-R, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
from the trenches.